Well, if I don't know how many of you remember last Sunday's sermon or the last couple sermons, but I am finding myself today still suffering from TOTD. Okay, and for those of you who weren't here or those of you who don't remember, TOTD stands for Tired of Traveling Disorder. Totally made up by your pastor, but nevertheless, I really feel that, you know, maybe there is such a thing. Is there such a thing, June, for those of flight attendants that travel so much, right? I don't know about anyone else, but like I said in the first service, I am really, I'm ready for this month to be over for more than one reason. I'm tired, I'm stressed, I've been sick, I'm totally frustrated, and this journey of life in this month has really, really gotten out of hand. And we've spoken a lot about travel in our sermons during this Advent season. And you know, Christmas, it is a time for you're traveling this week. I'm traveling. I know Spencer's going to be traveling. Some of you others are going to be traveling. Many people travel during the Christmas season, and it's a time for people to be at home, to gather with other family members. Christmas is a season to celebrate, to worship together, to eat together, to follow cherished traditions, to give and exchange gifts. And yet for many people, Christmas can also be a lonely time. You know, as it is often for many of those in our armed forces or those who have no family nearby, some might be stationed far away from home. You know, others have no family, no home near them. And others suffer from, you know, the effects of a storm or a slab leak or some other disaster in their life that they end up having no home at all. And yet many people, I think most people, want to be home for Christmas. It's interesting how the people of God, however, never seemed to be at home. They were always travelers. They always knew what it was like to be far away from home. I mean, Abraham, for example, was told to leave his family and his home behind and just go to an unknown country. Go to a new home, God is going to show you, and just go. So Abraham, he picked up everything. Picked up his family, his nephew, and left his family behind, went to an unknown country, a new home that God was going to show him, and he left with nothing more than a promise, the promise of God. And he arrives in this land of promise, and the interesting thing is that by the time of his death, he really didn't own very much of the land. He basically owned a burial cave. A plot of land that had a little cave in it so that could bury he and his wife. That was it. But Abraham had lived and journeyed by promise. He trusted God to keep his word. God said there would be a home waiting Abraham. And Abraham believed it, and he trusted it. God also had told Abraham that through his family, his descendants, that all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. And Abraham believed that promise. And centuries later, we know that that promise is fulfilled in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Mary, the promised Savior, who is going to be a blessing to all the nations. And yet, like his ancestor Abraham, Jesus didn't always have a place to call home. You know, when Mary and Joseph arrived in Bethlehem, you know, there was no Trivago, you know, in those days, right? They get to Bethlehem and the city's crowded, and there was no place for them. No place in the hotel. And so Jesus' birthplace is in a stable, a lowly manger for his bed. Now, when Jesus was growing up, yes, he called for a while Nazareth home. But, you know, before that, he had lived in Egypt for a while, and then he lived in Nazareth. But then, as he became a man, mature, he began to travel throughout Palestine to serve, to teach, and to heal, and eventually to take up the cross for our sins. And one day there was this would-be disciple that came and asked Jesus where he was staying, and the Lord replied, "Foxes have their holes, and birds have their nests, but the Son of Man has no place to rest his head." And you know, Jesus had a home. Son of God left his heavenly home for the sake of our salvation. He came to earth where he had no place to lay his head. And then he walks the road to the place of execution outside Jerusalem. And then after suffering crucifixion for our sins, they took him to his final resting place, a place for his body, at least that he was there for a few days, and his followers thought he'd be there permanently, but even in death, he didn't have a permanent place. We know the tomb was borrowed, and that 3 days later, he rose again and left the tomb. And with his resurrection, he guaranteed then that we too, on the last day, when he returns, will rise bodily from our graves and live in a new home, in his presence forever. And yet, before he ascended into heaven to his permanent home, his heavenly home, he told his disciples that he was going somewhere to prepare a place just for them. And so he ascends to his heavenly Father, to the right hand, the place of power and authority to rule over and to prepare a place for us. And so this risen, crucified and risen Lord who slept in a manger, a borrowed manger, because there was no other place for him, who had no place to lay his head, who was laid to rest in a borrowed tomb, he ascends to a place to prepare a place for us. The home that awaits for us is a home of promise, just as it was for Abraham. You know, where there was a home of promise that was waiting for Abraham, and he longed to see it. And even when he finally lived in tents in the promised land, he knew that there was even a better home that awaited him, a more solid home, a more lasting home. A city that had foundations, whose designer was indeed God himself. And you see, Abraham trusted that promise that there would be a better day, a better place, a better city, an eternal home. And he knew that he was not going to be disappointed. And neither will we. Because you see, we look forward to the same eternal promised home, the city that has foundations, that's prepared for us by God and by our Savior Jesus. And therein then lies, doesn't it, the tension of life for us. We long for a place to call home. You know, I know sometimes we kind of like to idolize this idea of the nomadic life. It's funny. When I travel with my singing group, it's amazing how many parts of the world still think that we're back in cowboy days. They think that's the American costume is cowboys and I know guys we've kind of romanticized life out on the open prairie under the stars with the fireplace and sitting there with our guitars and playing and singing. I'm not sure you ladies really think that's ideal, cooking over a stove like that. And we kind of idealize that, don't we? Living out under the stars, eating by a campfire, I think that would get pretty old pretty quickly. We need to light somewhere. We need to land somewhere. We need to put down roots and to be someplace. And when it came to Israel, God finally brought them to a place. And through the prophet, he said, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them so that they may live in their own place and be disturbed no more. And we know that that planting then echoed through generations all the way to Jesus, because he was indeed of the line and lineage of David. And so without that planting, without him having established a family in David, we would not be here today celebrating this Christmas season. Planting is important. Lighting somewhere, ending someplace really matters. Because you see, like plants, human beings need roots. Roots to sink into the soil. And even nomadic herders would still be able to identify the places that they would visit from time to time. They would always understand themselves as part of the landscape. Being somewhere with roots gives us a sense of belonging. And for us, I think that's significant. I mean, even God got tired, if you will, of hanging around in a tent, and told the children of Israel he wanted a house of cedar. And so the people of God were planted in the promised land, and therein hangs that tale that continues for generations right up until Joseph and Mary head to Bethlehem for the census. And so there we are. God has located the people and promised them peace. And in the bargain, God got a temple. And you know, I wonder, as we think about the history of our ancestors in faith and all that they went through, do we ever think about what that might mean for us? How is it that these stories touch us even today? How do they help us to form this people of faith that we are? You know, and I can't help but wonder, this close to Christmas, do we see these stories in the same light as the children of Israel all those years ago? I mean, I know there are differences, but I would say that there are many similarities that can inform us and touch us. I mean, looking at the church today, I can imagine a tribe wandering through the wilderness, not wondering where is it that we're going, looking for things to be perfect, rather than caring about the lost around us. And what do you think? As a church, does it feel like we have been planted here by God? Do you feel safe and undisturbed? And if not, can you say why not? And we think about these things. Does it feel that this line of David that God established in Jesus is leading us to the manger so that it has an impact on our lives today? I mean, we've landed here. We've been planted here, haven't we, to take root in this soil? Or do we see ourselves just still wandering around in circles in the, if you will, the Sinai of our own culture, feeling lost and afraid to reach out for God for fear that our current society might ridicule us for these ancient beliefs of wise men and shepherds and babies in mangers? You know, we do sit on the edge of Christmastide. And I realize some of you may be wondering, what in the world does this kind of talk have to do with Christmas? I mean, shouldn't we, after all, just have a nice little homily and then retire to our cocoa and our stockings? I mean, shouldn't we just take a large breath and decorate our tree? And yes, but yes and no. I mean, I can assure you, I'm not going to be a Scrooge, okay? I am gonna celebrate Christmas with all the warmth and the joy that the traditions offer. But I think it's important for us to remember that in the midst of our comfort, to understand that it is into a most uncertain world that the people of Israel were planted. And it is into the land of another people that the lineage of David was placed. And then we who are born of the Spirit, you and I, we are the offspring of that wandering people, a tribe that was buoyed up by the mighty God. And even as we are transplanted now into this setting of our culture, of our society today, we all, I think, find ourselves longing for that eternal home, that time when we will be at peace with God forever. And so here we gather, if you will, in our own temple. And we need to recognize that we have landed in this strange land. I mean, we are a people of love and generosity. We're lost in a land of anger and greed. We're a people who claim the healing, redemptive power of the self-giving love that Jesus brought in the midst of a world that is so focused on itself, that seems to be grasping for everything it can get for itself. And we are a people who've been planted in this place by God, who calls us into mission and ministry, and then a Savior who comes and walks with us along this road of life as He leads us to home. And so this Christmas, if only for a little while, let us remember from where we have come so that we can walk into that future that God is building for us. And this Christmas, if only for a little, let us kneel before the manger of the Son of David as we seek to serve others. And this Christmas, if only for a little while, let us sink down our roots and allow God to plant us in hope and in mission and in ministry and in joy. And so finally, as in these final days as we of this Advent season, as we prepare to celebrate the first Advent, His birth in Bethlehem, we do also look forward to the second Advent, His second coming. And on the last day, Jesus is going to return and take us to be with Himself, to enjoy that home that He has prepared for us in his presence, an eternal home, bought and paid for in full by the blood of Jesus. And we know that it's ours by faith through Jesus our Savior. So during this Christmas season, if you are away from home, or even if you are at home, you may just be feeling a little homesick for the home that is still to come, our lasting home, our eternal home. And the Savior, for whom there was no place in Bethlehem, is preparing that place for us. And he has promised to come again and to take us to himself. And so while we wait, we offer that wonderful, marvelous Advent prayer. Come, Lord Jesus. Let us pray. Oh, gracious Father, you who had no place for your son to lay his head, we give you thanks that you have given us homes and places where we can gather with family and loved ones. And so in these Christmas days, bring us home together as a people, willing to share our lives, our ministry, our mission with our world. For those who are truly homeless, Father, we ask that you find a way to touch them. Be with us as we look forward to and anticipate our coming to our final home. And may you continue to be with us with all peace and joy. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.